Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Well, well, well. And we're back, kids. What's up, you fucking gents? Thank you for listening to the Danny Palmer Show. As always, I appreciate my listener. You guys are so nice, you know? I keep an eye on the fucking stats of this pod. There's no need to swear, Danny. Every week. And it just remains consistent. You know, it's not the world's biggest podcast, but it's also consistent over time. You know, it's probably way more people than see my fucking stop swearing, honey. Why are you so vulgar? I don't know. I'm allowed to swear. Well, you marked it as not vulgar on Apple Podcasts, so I don't know why they haven't taken it down yet. Honey, why are you bringing that up? Don't blow up my fucking spot, dude.
Don't call me dude. I'm your girlfriend.
Okay, you're right. I love you.
I love you too. Let's make out.
That's just us kissing. What is the fucking point of life? We'll be dead for billions of years. Don't think about that. Just think about having fun. Isn't spring fun, dude? It's a nice time of year, you know? I like seeing those like cherry blossom things, whatever they're called, and you walk around. And even I went to college in Macon, Georgia. They had these like cum trees, you know? Smell like cum. And I've noticed that they have those in New York too. Not as prevalent. Definitely a lesser presence as you walk around, you know, the cesspool of America, as my grandma used to call it. But definitely some countries in New York, too. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that? I'm going to be touring. Maybe I should start to do promotion things at the beginning of the episode. In June, I'm going to be going on a three-city tour opening for Giulio Gallerati. I'm very excited. It's going to be at Goodnight. I forget what the name of the club is in Raleigh. Sorry. Goodnight Sleepies. Goodnight something in Raleigh. And then no, I've heard that it's an amazing club. Then the next night, I think it's June 15th, we're going to Zany's in Nashville. My friend Haley's going to come. What's up, Haley?
What's up, girl?
And then the next night, that Thursday, going to be doing The Punchline in Atlanta. So it's going to be super sick. Very excited about that. And next week, this is useless information, but I am going to Portugal for about 9 days for my friend's 50th birthday party. He's a really sick dude. So I will provide content. Rest assured, my friends. Rest fucking assured, dude. Usually, I do like once a month pod with my buddy and hilarious comedian, Tom McCaffrey, but he's been traveling. He's been away. So I'm just, you know, I'm kind of doing things on my own. And it's fine. And it's just fucking fine, dude. My goal initially was to have like 1 week be what I'm doing this week, like a curation of interesting, fun things during the week. And then hopefully some inspiring stuff and then also interviews. And then I was like, I'll just do every other week. And it's like, you know what? I don't think it fucking matters. I think people are interested in this thing that I do, right? Is talk about stuff and cum trees and things of that sort, if you will, if you were. And then some interviews too. You know, it's all fun. It's all fun. Thanks, Danny. You know, we'll see what happens, kid. We'll see. Is this podcast going to blow up my career and life? It's very, very unlikely. Is it a useful, productive, creative expression for any and all podcasts? Let's not just talk about yourself, Danny. I can't do the girlfriend voice. It's hurting my throat. I do think that podcasts are valuable. Even if you don't have the biggest podcast in the world, just talking about things that are interesting and like speaking in a way where, okay, this is going to go literally out across the planet. You know, you don't want to say things that are bad or hurtful, obviously. You want it to be useful and entertaining. There's overlaps between that and what you do in stand-up, too. So I think it's valuable, hopefully, for the listeners, too, and also for... Just do your fucking content, Danny. I watched, I love Jersey Shore. Oh my God. I know I talk about it a lot, but I've watched a couple episodes recently of this latest season, which I think is episode, season 16, if you take them all together, which they basically do. And I learned a new term from Snook and the crew. Snooky, she is Peruvian. It's called the dirty stay out. That's when you go out until like 3 or 4 in the morning and just party. I mean, obviously, you know, I've been doing that every weekend for the past 20 years, but I did not know that that was a fucking concept and a term, and now I'm excited to use it all the time. I'll probably name this episode title, The Dirty Stay Out. Thanks, Snooks. Is the volume in this episode a smidge too high? I turned it down just a fucking smidge, dude. I don't know if you guys, I don't know what the fucking breakdown of my podcast is, like men versus women and like people that are interested in sports versus people that aren't. Well, now I feel like the volume's too low. I don't fucking know, dude. What am I going to do? You don't know shit about shit, honey. All right, honey. That's not very nice. But anyways, Trey, the Hawks are playing the Celtics, and I know this won't matter in literally probably 2 weeks, but Trae Young just hit this three-point shot at the end of the game to win the game so that the Hawks didn't get eliminated. They're on the road in Boston. The shitty fans in Boston. Sorry, Boston. Oh, there goes my Boston listeners. By the way, I don't think I have any listeners in Boston. I've never seen it record as a city on my podcast. But Tampa, St. Pete, plenty of listeners, and that's pretty cool because I grew up there. Anyways, just like, even if you're not a sports fan, just like the cold-blooded nature or like the steel will that you have to just make this huge shot when everybody is counting on you and it's the end of the game. Dude, I would just panic every time. I'd be like, you guys, we've got to stop giving Danny the ball with 6 seconds left. He's throwing air balls and he's clearly panicked. It's just impressive to stay cool under pressure like that, you know? Anyway, Dirty Stay Out, we talked about that. I was at, did a show at New York Comedy Club on Sunday. And then afterwards, we all usually go out to a bar to have a quick cocktail. And whatever bar our producer, Ryan DeCarlos, hasn't been kicked out of lately. And this guy had a shirt on in the bar that said, eat right, exercise regularly, die anyway, which is pretty hilarious. And then it reminded me of a Dave Barry book called Stay Fit and Healthy Until You're Dead. I mean, isn't that what we're basically here to do? You know what? That's what I'll title the fucking episode. Stay Fit and Healthy Until You're Dead. I've noticed that the Cavender twins, who used to play for Miami, when they do their like social media posts, and they have way more followers than me, they have like millions of posts. I've noticed they'll title it like "How to Do This" or "Here's Three Facts About X." You know, so I'm like, oh, maybe I should name my podcast episode titles something that's trying to be like marketing oriented. And it's like, Danny, no one fucking cares, dude. Okay, just quit trying to fucking beat the system, you fucking tool. I don't know if you guys like to gamble. Sorry, my dishwasher's on, and now that it's quiet, I feel like my neighbor's like, what the fuck? Oh, by the way, dude, this is an insane story. I'm just going to say it on my podcast. Last night, I think this is universally relatable. The more specific you are, the more generally relatable it is something I've read as advice about stand-up. And who knows if it's true, but anyways. So I woke up at like 4 a.m. or something, pitch black in my apartment. I always do this when I just wake up out of nowhere. I thought I saw a spider. Like, literally, like, you know, 6 inches from my face. I'm like, there's a giant. So I go to move away from the spider, quote unquote. When I do that, I tense my calves. Then I get a calf cramp. Then I scream because of the calf cramp. I'm like, ah. And now there's no spider. Obviously, there's no spider. I just saw something when you wake up, you know. Now I have a painful calf cramp. Now I've screamed. My neighbors probably think I'm a fucking maniac or got killed. Either way, they didn't seem to care. And then all day I'm just like feeling my fake spider alarm calf cramp. God damn it, that's annoying, dude. Also, I forgot to eat a banana today. Damn it, Danny. You also have two tomorrow. I was talking to my friend. I went to, there's two New York Comedy Club branches or whatever, locations. There's one on East 24th Street and 2nd Avenue here in New York in the city. And then there's another downtown location that used to be Eastville Comedy Club. They took it over. I was hanging out there on 420, dude, with the owner, Emilio Savone. And we were sitting at the bar talking, you know, about like sports and basketball and stuff. And then I was talking to my other friend, Jank. I don't know why I said that part, but my other friend, Jank, was there. And I said, he gambles a lot. I'm like, dude, you have like a gambling problem, right? And he's like, I don't know. And I go, if you had to like add it all up in your lifetime, whether you were up or down from gambling, what would you say you are? And he goes, down by a lot. I love that there's just no question. I wonder what percentage of like lifetime inveterate gamblers are down versus the ones that are up. I mean, is it just the pros that are up if you gamble a lot? Or are there some amateurs that still are up because they're like savvy and shit like that? I don't fucking know, dude. I don't know. I was talking to my friend Giulio Gallerati about college, you know, and it's like, obviously, a lot of people are broke. I was super broke in college. And he was talking. I said something like, did he go to some like, I don't know, like concerts or things like that when he was in college? He went to, I think, BU in Boston. And he was like, not really. And then I was like, yeah, me too. I was like, I went to Mercer University in Macon, Georgia. I was like, I didn't go to any cultural events unless Mercer owned the building. Like Mercer bought the opera hall. Or whatever it's called in downtown Macon. And then I would like work there and like be the bartender sometimes. And that was the only time that I went. Actually, I didn't even go to the cultural event. I was just working at the bar outside of the cultural event. Also, we stole a lot of money in cash in the Cherry Blossom Festival every spring. So that's fun. I think I told that on the pod already. It's fun to admit to crimes you committed 20 years ago. It's like, what are they going to do? You know, are the Cherry Blossom Festival organizers from 1996 going to chase me down in New York? I mean, maybe. I'm on the lam, dude. I'm on the Cherry Blossom Festival lam, bro. I saw this somewhere. I don't have a lot of context or like insights to provide beyond these two questions, but I think these questions are valuable to think about in your life on hopefully a regular basis. What am I working toward and what are the core values that drive my life? I mean, if you think through those questions all the time, you can really start to hopefully make progress towards that and also have like more clear direction and focus and purpose in your life. I was at work today and there was another phrase that I guess the CEO of my company says a lot. I don't know if I should say the company or not. I think people can figure it out, but whatever. It basically says, if you want to be a good leader, you need to have clarity. And to gain clarity, you need time for contemplation. Contemplation. Am I doing the right things with my life? What are the core values that drive my life? And what am I working towards? You know? I question that every single day. Like, so what the fuck am I doing here, dude? Am I just like partying and like trying to only have 1.5 drinks per week? I mean, per night during the week? Like, what am I trying to fucking do? Am I supposed to have kids? Is it selfish if you don't have kids? All these questions that's always like popping up in my head, you know? It's like, Danny, what the fuck are you doing? I think what calms me and hopefully people beyond me is like, if you're struggling with things and you're having anxiety about what you should be doing with your life, the more I like read and learn and am curious about things and also create things, the less anxiety I have about what is the actual purpose and direction of my life and am I doing the right things to fulfill what I should be doing upon this planet. It's like maybe because it actually, you know, maybe there's not really a true honest answer to that or a true like verifiable like capital T true answer to that, right? And so instead of spending your time kind of like navel gazing and wringing your hands about what you should be doing, the more time you spend learning about things outside of you and hopefully doing things to help other people, I could do more of that, admittedly. And you do comedy, honey, that counts. You're saving the world with your jokes. Am I though, hon? No. All right. Well, you know. Well, that concludes that sort of thought. I don't know why I'm about to do this, but like I try not to dip my toes in the, you know, culture wars waters on the show because I'm obviously like this white dude and in his 40s. Like no one cares what I think, you know, but I was reading this article about the Anheuser-Busch, the Bud Light thing with the transgender woman that pissed Kid Rock off. And then Kid Rock posted this video of him like machine gunning Bud Lights. But I just thought this was interesting that the two executives, I'll read the start of this article. When she was named Anheuser-Busch's marketing vice president, Alyssa Heiner-Scheid explained in a recent podcast interview, "I had this super clear mandate. We need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. Doing that," she said, "means having a campaign that's truly inclusive. But the limits of that mandate and how Anheuser-Busch defined inclusive became apparent Friday when the company announced that Miss Heiner-Scheid and her boss, Daniel Blake, were on a leave of absence after a wave of right-wing outrage over a Bud Light marketing campaign that involved the transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney." So that's kind of interesting because you would think that if they're doing this campaign to support transgender rights, they're obviously like kind of hope, you would think that they're like putting a stake in the ground that they're supporting that. But then if they put the execs in charge of that campaign on leave, that's pretty much a backtrack, right? And then they posted this other ad with like these Clydesdale horses and stuff like that. But it's like, obviously it's this whole like culture wars thing, the double digit sales declines, and you know, you're stepping right into a middle of a polarized America. And I'm not really gonna get it. I'm not stepping into the middle of a polarized America, but I do think it's interesting that they just put these two execs on leave. Oh, and their rationale for it was kind of like, what? Here, let me tell you the rationale. They said, first of all, the sales for Bud Light went down by 17% for the week ending April 15th compared with a year ago. And they put out this statement about the execs on leave. They said, "We have made some adjustments to streamline the structure of our marketing function to reduce layers so that our most senior marketers are more closely connected to every aspect of our brand's activities." So basically what they're saying is the senior leaders weren't as involved in the decision making about what the promotion should be, I mean, that's kind of like skirting the issue, right? Like, also, if you put out a massive ad campaign, aren't the senior leaders seeing that regardless of who created it? Like, and have the ultimate like review and say so authority? Like, if I was those execs that got put on leave, I'd be like, dude, you had the chance to review this. Why do we get go on leave? You know? I don't know. Seems like kind of cheap skating your way out of things. But all right. Well, there you go. That's my not even close to attempt to wade into the middle of a contentious social issue, because that's not what we do here in the Danny Palmer Show, okay? We read inspiring quotes from Kurt Vonnegut and we call it a fucking week. That's what we do here. This is a quote that I like. We can wrap up the old John on this week. Oh, you know, I sometimes I get down on my, I'm like, Danny, these podcast episodes should be like 45, but it doesn't fucking matter. You know, I'm going to put out what I think is interesting, hopefully inspiring content, and the length of content that I have that I feel meets that criteria, that's going to be the length of the podcast episode. And there's no need to beat myself up over it. You know, the 23 minutes that the podcast episode length needs to be to get sponsors. Well, the sponsors are like 10 cents, dude. Okay. I can do without the fucking sponsors until, you know, 10 years down the road when this podcast has exploded and I've been long, long dead. Anyways, this is a quote from Kurt Vonnegut. He said, practice any art, music, singing, dancing, acting, drawing, painting, sculpting, poetry, fiction, essays, reportage like a columnist or a newspaper reporter. Okay. No matter how well or badly you do all those things, not to get money and fame, but to experience becoming, to find out what's inside you, to make your soul grow. Wow. That actually alludes to what I was talking about in the early going of this episode about doing creative things so that you can learn and grow and hopefully share ideas that could be helpful to people. I like that. Let me read that last part again. Poetry, fiction, essays, no matter how well or badly, not to get money and fame, but to experience becoming, to find out what's inside you, to make your soul grow, to experience becoming. Dude, that's a good fucking motivational thought to end the episode on. You're going to experience making yourself come because I'm going to bed. All right, honey. Okay? You're not helping me experience my becoming right now. No one cares about your becoming. Just end the episode and start your 6-step facial care routine. All right. Thank you for listening to the old Danny Palmer Show. I'm on Instagram, Danny Palmer NYC. Hit me up. Send me a message. No one ever does. Black Cat, LES, every Friday, 9 o'clock. Me and Ryan DeCalos produce and run that show. Last week was crazy because we had like, it started out kind of light, maybe like 15 audience members. And then at 10:30, like a bunch of people came in and then everybody started crushing. It was crazy. Anyways, to find that, had to have that experience for yourself, come out to the old fucking Black Cat John, dude. It's 172 Rivington, 9 o'clock. I feel like if I talk for 7 more seconds, this will get to 18 minutes and people will be like, wow, this is going to be worth my time. No? Nothing? All right. Well, fine. I love you so much. Who are you talking to? Nobody, dude. Just end the recording. All right, sweetie. Thanks for listening. Cheers.